Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Digital and social media strategist Scott Kleinberg for years wrote an internationally syndicated social media column for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us here every Tuesday morning. And Scott gets a lot of questions between our weekly visits. So today we're going to talk about some of those. Scott, good morning. Would you say these questions are a sampling of the most popular ones you get?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Yes, that, and these are ones that have the potential to help the most people. Some are for personal accounts, others are for business accounts, and there are some that cross over to both.
Okay, let's start with businesses and how to keep up with responses.
Sure. So this is about not only keeping up with what people may be saying about you, but also making sure that you know all the places to look.
Explain that a little bit more.
Sure. So say you have a Facebook page where you see most of your social media engagement. That would mean that you want to check your comments often on every post to make sure you don't miss any important questions. But along those same lines, it's equally important to check the reactions. So, for example, thumbs up, you know, and the heart symbols, those are great. But a sad or an angry face usually isn't. A laughter emoji can depend on the topic at hand. In other words, reading a comment is easy, and it's the quickest way to gauge your needs in terms of communicating. But someone who's had a bad experience leaving an angry face, that's worthy of a follow-up.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because when I, for example, look at restaurant reviews and I see a bad one that's answered by the restaurant, it really impresses me. And that's really what all businesses should do, isn't it?
It's what all businesses should do, and it's also about perception. You know, it's something that impresses you because you see it. You know, that's something that people want to strive for.
Okay, so we talked about Facebook a little bit. What about other social media platforms?
Sure. So I always recommend checking the other platforms. And importantly, that's even the ones where you aren't active. Because just because you're not active there, that doesn't mean that people aren't talking about you or competitors in their own places. So when you latch onto that, you open the door to finding new audiences. But you also have to remember, it's not specifically a social media channel. Business owners should also, as to your point, should also check Yelp. They should check Google reviews, because you don't want to miss an opportunity to interact in a place that you aren't necessarily thinking about.
And in the case of a review, that could be positive or negative, right?
Oh, absolutely. You could have a brand ambassador waiting in the wings and not even know it. You could also have a problem that really needs to be corrected, but it starts with you checking. I see, and this goes back to what you said too, I see business pages all the time that they have reviews from years ago where people say great things. They also say bad things. But when I don't see any attempt at them reaching out, it tells me that the owners aren't looking in the right place.
Right. So summing up here, business owners should have a plan for monitoring mentions on social media and on the web in general.
Exactly. And wherever applicable, they should respond accordingly to both positive and negative feedback.
Okay. What are some of the other questions you get often?
Well, I'll tell you, passwords and anything to do with password managers, that's always a hot topic. And it's usually, do I need a password manager? How often should I change my password? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, people can never get enough of the password conversation. Let's take a break here and then talk about some of your top tips in that department. WGN. Continuing with Scott Kleinberg. Scott, what do we need to know about creating passwords?
Yeah, great question. So first, I always start by telling people to focus first on a secure password, and that means 15 characters or more. You want a mixture of numbers and letters. You want those letters to be uppercase and lowercase. You want to use symbols. Some websites may have limitations in terms of size of password and symbols, so you'll have to adjust accordingly, but know that going in. Here's a great tip. If you Google random password generator or just Google password maker, there are no shortage of websites, and they make it easy to create strong passwords.
And I know we've gone back and forth about how often to change passwords. What's your advice on that?
I'll tell you, Bob, recommendations really vary greatly when it comes to that. So let's look at it like this. If your password is extremely secure, then you don't have to worry about changing your password nearly as often. Where it gets dicey is when you're sharing your bank account password with your Netflix password, and that's the same as the password you use to order pizza, and someone happens to get a hold of that password, and then you really have a problem.
I remember when we talked about that. Always make sure your passwords are unique, so if one is compromised, then all of your accounts aren't vulnerable. That's the idea, isn't it?
Exactly right. And you know what, Bob? It may be easier to have one password. It also may be easier to have a password that's easy for you to remember. But here's the key, and I've been telling people this for years and years and years. Passwords were not invented for your convenience. They were invented for your safety.
Yeah, what about remembering passwords? And that's where the question of a password manager comes in, right?
Yeah, you're right. But nowadays, you know, your phone, likely a modern phone, likely has a built-in password manager. Your iPhone, for example, will save passwords and you can enter your own. Same for an Android phone. Google Chrome in itself saves passwords. So for many people, this is actually much easier and it's pretty safe. And the strength of the password is the most important thing. That, and then there's two-factor authentication. That's the code that you get texted to you when you log in. That's yet another level of protection. So, but here's something also to look forward to while we're talking about this. Apple's working on something called passkeys, and those identify you through your phone, like Face ID and Touch ID, but it goes even deeper than that. So it's not actually using a password that's stored anywhere on a server. And even Google is on board with that. So it's not just Apple. It's Apple, it'll be Android, it'll be all that stuff. And I really honestly believe that someday in the not-too-distant future, these password conversations that you and I have and I keep having will be very different because we'll have more protection from hackers and more protection from vulnerabilities.
Are passwords going to be obsolete one day? Are we going to have phones, for example, that don't even require passwords and sites that don't use them?
You know, what's amazing about that question, Bob, I could literally talk to you for hours about this. I think the answer is someday in the future we'll come very, very close to that. It's a lot like the self-driving car. If you think about a self-driving car, will we ever have a day where we'll never have to touch the steering wheel again? Probably not, but we'll come awfully close where we won't have to drive. Passwords are the same way. I think we'll always have to have them or there'll always be something in the background, but eventually as people get more new types of phones and more updated and we have more updated technology, all of that stuff will be stored locally on your phone versus on a server, and the server is where things become hackable.
We've mentioned before that if you want to ask a question, you can email or text us. But Scott, if someone wants to get in touch with you directly off the air, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, great question, because I was thinking about this the other day. With all of the confusion of everything happening on Twitter, I've moved my questions to an email address, which is digitalstrategy101@gmail.com. digitalstrategy101@gmail.com. I can't promise that I'll have all the answers, but anyone who writes me always gets a response, and I'll always do my best for you.
Now, I haven't done anything with my Twitter account, and it seems to be okay, and I'm using it like I've always used it. Is something going to change drastically here any day now? What's going on?
That's the thing. You know, it's like every day people are expecting something terrible to happen where Twitter's not going to be online, and every day it's still online. I think it's one of those things where you just don't know for sure. So people who rely on Twitter for a lot of things are trying to have backups just in case something happens. So, you know, having an email address for me is better than saying direct message me and then all of a sudden I can't read my direct messages. But I think you should keep doing what you're doing. You know, there's nothing saying that this is going to go away. But just in case there's some kind of pause or something should happen, I think, you know, for some people it makes sense.
All right, let's get to the Genius Bar. And our question today for Scott comes from our text line. And it says, on LinkedIn, when I delete my notifications, it says they are deleted. But when I return to that page, why are they not deleted? This bugs me.
Well, rightfully so, first of all, that it bugs you. So that may not be as easy of an answer, but here's what I'll say. Notifications, like we were just talking about with passwords, notifications are almost always stored on some kind of server. It's the reason why you can log into LinkedIn on your phone, then log into LinkedIn on your computer, and everything kind of follows along because everything's on a server. You have two choices when it comes to LinkedIn notifications. You can turn off notifications. It says turn off notifications like this, or you can delete the notification. I have a feeling that when you're deleting the notification and you're coming back to the page, it may not have resolved itself with the server, and that's why you're seeing it again. My guess is that if you were to log out of your LinkedIn account and log back in, that you would no longer see it. But what you can also do is you can turn off notifications like that. If there's a that's for a particular type of notification that you get from either a page or a person or a business, if you turn that off, you shouldn't see them in the first place, and you shouldn't have that problem to start with. But to come back to what you're saying, try signing out first, signing back in, seeing what happens.
Sometimes I don't even understand the questions, Scott, but I'm glad you do. Talk to you next
week. Always happy to help, Bob.
Next week. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, Bob. Take care.